Hello and welcome back to the Existential Echo Chamber podcast. It has been a long time, friends. I think it's been maybe 6 months at least since I have recorded anything for you all. I do sincerely apologize for the hiatus. I've been quite busy. Some of you know and some of you may not know that I am a co-host of another podcast that has sort of taken off, so I am not always as available as I would maybe like to be to do some recording for this podcast the way that I was prior to this summer. So I do want to apologize for that, but I want to thank everyone who listens to this, who has come back to listen to this, who saw the was still subscribed and saw the feeds light up, saw a new episode, and was interested in hearing me rant. So, I guess we're going to consider this the first official episode of season two of the podcast. We're going to start fresh. I hope everyone had a great Christmas, has had a better year than 2020. If you do have a few minutes, if you would like to go back and listen to my Christmas message from last year, I think it's still timely, it's still relevant. And it was episode, I think maybe 24 of the podcast, the last full episode I produced. So if you want to go back and listen to that, I think it still has a message that holds true for the close of 2021, as well as the close of 2020, what it was intended for. So I think for a while, these episodes are not going to be scripted. They are not going to be long form. They're not going to be an hour and a half long or anything like that. They're going to be short episodes where I talk about a very specific topic that's on my mind. And as I'm waxing philosophical, I figure I'll just rant and share those ideas with you all so that they can hopefully open your brain and start discussions with your friends and family. My fiance is smiling at me. I don't know why. I think she's excited that I'm recording an episode for this podcast. I think she finds this one more interesting than the other podcast.
They're both equally as interesting, but this one really...
She says they're both equally as interesting, but this one is...
It's not something you can compare because it's more not the same thing.
More her speed, what we're talking about.
This is intellectual.
This is an intellectual podcast.
The other one
is an entertainment-based podcast.
So. Yeah. So, right. So you need both to live a balanced life, right?
And she says we need both for a balanced life. I agree. So I will say, as we get going here on this episode, if I were to cough or something like that, please forgive me. I am battling COVID-19 for a second time. I had a nasty bout of COVID about 3 months ago, and unfortunately, Omicron got me, so I have COVID again, just in time for Christmas. So I'm still having a few issues with some congestion and all of that. So if you hear me clearing my throat, like I just did, that's what that is. All right. So without further ado, today, the idea that has been percolating in my brain, that's sort of been, I guess, in my mind a lot more recently, is... what exactly do I believe about the existence of God, a higher deity, a being that is responsible for the creation of life, the creation of our universe and any other universes we don't know about? Because if you've been listening to the podcast, if you listen to season one, you know that what I've been talking about, and certainly I don't want to shortchange it. I will still talk about historical Jesus research. I will still talk about that journey I was going on and how I went away from my faith as an evangelical Christian to what I am today. That story is not totally finished, and I will get back around to it, I promise. But I want to step away from the questions of Christianity and the question of whether or not I believe in Yahweh, or that I believe, if I believe that Jesus was a manifestation of Yahweh who died for my sins, and those sorts of questions. Of course, I think I've answered pretty definitively that I don't accept those things as being literally true in the way that an Orthodox Christian per se would. But I do think it's useful maybe to take this episode to try to at least open the conversation about what I do believe. And what I do believe are what I do think, or whatever, is a work in progress, certainly. I think we should all have a work in progress when it comes to this kind of stuff, and in terms of our thinking. But I do have some notions of what I think God would almost have to be like, or what God would have to be, if God does exist. So to dive into it, I guess you could call me a lot of different things, okay? If your definition of God is the God of the Bible, or the God of who is also, you know, the God of Islam, or, you know, one of the Hindu gods, or a god, you know, if you have a clearly defined notion of God that is taken directly from a specific religious or dogmatic source, people pray to this god, they worship this god, if that idea of God is what you mean by God, then if your definition of atheist is someone who does not believe in that God, then I would be an atheist under those specific parameters. Okay. If you think that your definition of God is the only definition of God that is relevant, and your definition of an atheist is someone who rejects that understanding of God, then I would be an atheist. Personally, I do not call myself an atheist. I don't like that label. I don't find it to be useful, and I don't find it to be particularly accurate, because I don't think that your understanding of God, if it's a very dogmatic, narrow understanding of God, is the only potential understanding of God. You could call me an agnostic, because agnostic just means to not know. I'm without a working knowledge of whether or not there is God. Agnosticism is the only safe scientific bet, because you can strongly suspect that God doesn't exist, and that's what atheists do. You know, they strongly, actively believe that God does not exist. But of course they don't know, none of us can know. And so I am certainly agnostic in that sense. I don't know. I strongly suspect that the definition of God as a personal God that is involved in our daily lives, a God that we pray to, a God that cares about our sex lives, things like that. I, in the strongest possible way, doubt that that is accurate to what actually exists in the in the scheme of the grand scheme of things. Of course, these questions are above my pay grade, so I do have to say that I don't know. I do not know. I just suspect that's not the case. So, if you would like to call me an atheist, if you'd like to call me an agnostic, I don't really claim either of those terms per se. I think agnostic has more to do with what you claim to know. It doesn't really have anything to do with belief. Atheism has more to do with an absence of belief, a specific absence of belief. Again, I don't really consider myself an atheist because I don't think that there's only one way to look at this question of whether or not God exists. So, empirically, God of the Bible, I'm fairly sure that that is not what's going on. But that is not to say that God doesn't exist, okay, in some way. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some of you will be familiar with the concept of deism, the idea. A lot of America's founding fathers were deists. There's a lot of famous thinkers who were deists. Basically, in a classical sense, deism would posit that God sort of in some way was responsible for the creation of the universe and of life, but for whatever reason, God exited the picture, left the equation unfinished, has walked away. Okay. Maybe the watchmaker God, where God wound up, created a watch, wound it up, and then left it to its own device, just let it tick down. Okay. And we're just ticking down to the end of our sentient time frame in the universe. I think that that form of God might make a little bit more sense based on some other beliefs that I hold in it. I'm sort of doing a survey here, so I'm not going to go deep into this, not yet. I'll wait to hear feedback and we'll go a little deeper into these topics that you guys want to hear based on what you like about this podcast. So what I will say is the idea that God created everything, that some being of some sort is responsible for us being here, some force, some higher power is responsible, but that force does not directly intervene and may not even be able to, may not even be aware of us. This force may have died. It may have stopped existing. It may have gone on to other endeavors, and we're just a blip on its radar. Philosophically, that is an attractive idea to me for several reasons. I think it does explain why there's a lot of suffering in the world that I think a loving, personal, all-powerful God, all-knowing God, would sort of be held responsible for. I think deism sort of lets God off the hook if it posits that God is not a personal, directly involved God. But there's still the problem, at least for me anyway, of like what happened. Okay, if there was a force, there was a higher power, what happened? Did God get amnesia? Did God die? Did God say, peace out, I don't care about my creation? What is the reason behind why God is not actively involved in the affairs of men? And there are some philosophies out there that seek to answer this problem. One of them is called pandeism. It has a close, slightly more theistic variant called pantheism. And then there's an offshoot called panentheism and panendeism. They're all sort of under this umbrella of deism. Okay, deism is sort of at the top, and then these are sub-branches. Pantheism and pandeism seek to answer this question, okay? So, let's start with pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that reality is identical with God. So, all things that exist come from an all-encompassing God, okay? But pantheists do not believe in a personal God, an anthropomorphic God. They believe that basically the universe is God. The universe is divine, okay? And that was a belief that was espoused, as far as I know, at least as far back as the 1600s. Baruch Spinoza talked about it in his book Ethics. It's not something I came up with. It's one belief that has persisted for a while. I think there were older versions, but that is, you know, sort of where I first came across it when I was studying Spinoza. I think there are some other versions that are interesting. Panentheism is the belief that the divine is everywhere. It pervades all of space and time, but also extends beyond it. Okay, the idea that God is everywhere in the universe and is part of the universe, but the divine and the universe are not exactly identical, because for a panentheist, there has to be some I guess you would say ontological distinction between the divine and the non-divine. So God, the universal spirit, whatever you want to call it, is present everywhere, but at the same time it transcends that which it created. So everything is God, but God is not necessarily within everything, because that allows for there could still be a piece of God that is almost a theistic deity you could believe in. Okay, so that's panentheism. It's an offshoot of pantheism. So this is a belief system, I think, from my own understanding of it, that does allow for there to be an element of faith, but it's not dogmatic per se, and it does not necessarily marry itself to a Judeo-Christian understanding of God. And then, of course, there are the other versions, okay, that we're about to talk about. And what I personally espouse is a little closer to pandeism. Pandeism is a theological doctrine that combines aspects of pantheism with aspects of deism. Okay, so basically, pandeism posits that there was a force that acted in order to create the universe, to jumpstart the universe. Some source was behind the origin of the universe. But in the act of creation, it became one with the universe and ceased to exist as a separate conscious entity. Pandeism reconciles the deistic explanation that God does not that God has abandoned the universe, does not interfere directly with pantheism's ideas that there is a definitive origin and purpose of the universe. So I like pantheism. I like deism. I don't go as far as panentheism because I'm not sure that it's useful to think of God as a personal God or necessarily a God that you would still pray to. I know these are very heavy concepts. They're things that hurt my brain. They're hard to articulate. I have a lot of notes here that I'm reading from because I don't want to get this wrong and confuse anyone any more than the concepts themselves might be confusing. But essentially, and there is a panentheism, okay? And that would just say that, just like panentheism, says that God is all-encompassing in the universe, but God also transcends the universe in a theistic way in which we would believe in that God or whatever. There is a panentheism that says 99.9% of God became the universe, but there is some force or conscious entity beyond that is still not interfering in the affairs of human beings or life on Earth. So I don't know if, you know, my beliefs or my thoughts tend to fall into somewhere into that realm of thinking, that umbrella of thinking. That there may have been a creative force, an intentional conscious thought or effort that went into the construction of the universe and of life. But I think that the act of doing so probably is caused that being, that force, to expend itself into our physical reality. And so in the pantheistic sense, whatever, the universe and everything is divine. We're all part of the divine. We're all, when we talk about the universe, sort of, we are the universe becoming conscious of itself. We're the cosmos sort of looking at itself in the mirror. We might also, that might not be so indistinguishable from saying that we are God experiencing, having experiences, that we are all part of God, trying to get a glimpse in the mirror, trying to take a look in the mirror, trying to see itself. And that's a very heavy philosophical concept. I think that there are some implications of this. I think if this were to be true, then we ought to surely be following teachings of, you know, great moral leaders who have suggested, like Jesus, who have suggested throughout the years that the most winning idea that we have is that we treat each other the way we want to be treated. I think treating all life with dignity and respect is a sort of necessary response to this kind of belief, believing that we all have a spark of the divine in us. I think that accounts for why some people are incredibly, incredibly gifted. And I think why we're capable of such great things. I think that perhaps maybe those of us who have extrasensory abilities and things like that, maybe that's because some of us are a little more entombed. Think of if the universe is all part of God and we're all a piece of it, And then we're all a network. Maybe we can all tap into each other like a cosmic Wi-Fi. I don't know. And I think maybe there, I think you could explain a lot of things if you look at the implications of this philosophy. And so that's something that I'd be very interested in talking to you guys more about, having people on to talk with me about this and work out these ideas, because they're very, very heavy ideas and I can barely articulate them. So we're just scratching the surface. So if you guys are interested in hearing more about my beliefs about whether God exists or what is God, I think that might be a good way to kick off season two. So thank you. Be sure to leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, if that's where you listen. Leave a review, leave 5 stars. That really helps. And remember to share with your friends. And I hope everyone has a safe and healthy new year. And I will be back very soon. And we will continue this discussion.